Hello, friends, and welcome to Ghosts to Show You. I'm Emily.
I'm Lillian.
And this is a podcast where we, two amateur ghost investigators
and professional idiots, do our best to make contact with the spirit world.
On this, our fifth episode, we spend a night in the allegedly haunted Millennium Biltmore Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Before we tell our tale, here's a little history.
The Biltmore opened its doors on October 1st, 1923, a grand, sweeping luxury hotel with breathtaking murals, carved marble columns and fountains, crystal chandeliers, and 1,500 rooms. The Biltmore was then the talk of the budding city of Los Angeles. 1920s Hollywood glamour would come to define this cultural landmark, and like the films of old Hollywood, the Biltmore was an instant classic.
The opening night party for the hotel included an extravagant 7-course dinner attended by the biggest names in show business, and it quickly became the place to see and be seen, with Cecil B. DeMille and Gloria Swanson both known to while away the night in one of the many bars or ballrooms. The hotel also quickly became a favorite interior for movie scenes, including later classics like Chinatown. Forget it, Jake. It's the Biltmore.
In 1928, the Biltmore hosted the first ever Academy Awards ceremony, and the story goes that it's also where MGM's production designer, Cedric Gibbons, sketched the first image of an Oscar statue on one of the hotel's cocktail napkins. The hotel hosted the ceremony a handful of times throughout the years, filling the lavish halls with celebrities like Clark Gable, Walt Disney, Jimmy Stewart, Betty Davis, and Ginger Rogers. People your great aunt would have absolutely lost her shit over.
Throughout the Prohibition era, the Biltmore was a safe haven for the elite and their taste for liquor. The hotel had speakeasies, hidden doors, and escape routes, making it a favorite spot for tough guys like Bugsy Siegel and Al Capone. Oof, Maron! Royalty, U.S. presidents, and every A-list celebrity you can imagine has stayed at the Biltmore, adding an air of drama and mystery to the already imposing building.
Now, let's get to the haunted part. It makes sense that the tragedy that so often ends a Hollywood story would also be present in the air of the Biltmore. Employees have described sounds of phantom parties drifting from the first floor ballroom and drops of temperature throughout the hotel.
There have also been numerous physical sightings, including a military nurse on the second floor, presumably from World War II when the Biltmore served as a military rest and recreation facility, a little girl ghost on the ninth floor, and a particularly troubling little boy ghost with no face on the roof. But what the Biltmore is primarily known for by paranormal experts and true crime enthusiasts alike is the Black Dahlia. No doubt most of you are familiar with the story, but the Black Dahlia is one of the most famous unsolved murders in the country. Elizabeth Short's body was found on the morning of January 15, 1947, lying in a vacant lot, bisected at the waist, mutilated, and drained of blood. The press had a field day and nicknamed her the Black Dahlia for many annoying speculative reasons. If you want to know more, go listen to one of the 45 podcasts about her. Anyway, she was last seen making a phone call in the lobby of the Biltmore to an unknown person for unknown reasons. There are reports of seeing a woman resembling Short in the lobby as well as the 10th and 11th floors. Why would she haunt a place she made a phone call in? No idea. You'd have to ask her.
Though not as famous as it once was, the hotel still serves as a popular filming location for movies and music videos. And a recent credit, according to the TV in the lobby, is the Justin Bieber video, Yummy. Have not seen it, but I'm sure it's incredible. The hotel is also popular with paranormal investigators, including YouTubers Sam and Colby, who we'll speak more about later in the episode.
Now, let's get to our night at the Biltmore. Lillian flew to meet me in LA on a foggy day, January 26th, 2020. I remember because it was the day that Kobe Bryant died. I drive to LAX to pick her up and bring her back to the house I'm renting in the Hollywood Hills with my husband for the month. The next 2 days were spent doing standard LA stuff, getting Mexican food, going to the Magic Castle, and visiting old friends in hopes of getting hooked up at the restaurants they work at. And then, on Lillian's final day in town, we packed up and drove my rental car to the Millennium Biltmore Hotel.
The Millennium Biltmore is located in downtown LA, and with its grand architecture and ornate interiors, is a striking remnant of a more opulent time. We check into the hotel, exhausted from 4 days of constant margaritas and sweet LA vibes, with Emily really embodying the laid-back West Coast culture as she Goldilocks us from hotel room to hotel room until we found one that she deemed suitable.
So here we are. We have just gotten to our final room. Because what happened was that one of us made us move rooms twice.
Yeah, one of us did that.
Yeah. Again. Basically what happens is that the first room is next to a noisy elevator and the second room smells like cigarettes. So then we moved. When we do eventually make it to our third room, we are pleased with what we find. There is a gorgeous photograph of Josh Gad and who's that?
Kevin Hart.
And Kevin Hart.
Looming over us, haunting our every fucking moment.
But the problem is that, again, one of us could have been either of us, put the beers that we had brought into the mini fridge of the first room and left them there.
And one of us, actually, I'd say both of us are too humiliated to go get them.
I truly don't have shame, so I might actually just be like, listen, I left something in the first room. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I got to get it.
It's pretty clear that one of us doesn't have any shame.
Anyway, so we're in this room and, you know, we're going to obviously do a little exploring later. We're going to put on our best 40s glam outfits.
Set a little honey trap for the ghosts.
Oh, ghosts love glamour.
They're just like 1960s hairdressers, you know, they love it.
They do love it.
Yeah.
So we will report back later. Mm-hmm. What time is it?
It's like 6:30. Not quite haunting hour. We have like 9 more hours to go, so.
Yeah, actually. After settling in, Lillian and I get all gussied up in preparation for the long night of schmoozing and ghost hunting to come. We have just gotten dressed.
Looking pretty glam.
Yeah, I'm wearing a purple silk long sleeve wrap dress. And Lillian is wearing a very busty 3/4 length sleeve, also wrap dress. You know, it's kind of a robin's egg blue with a sort of palm tree, sort of weird pattern.
It's like
barbed wire.
70s slut neighbor dress.
And I'll say that my guns are really showing through in this dress. I don't know if you're supposed to be as jacked as I am for wearing this long sleeve dress.
They didn't plan that.
They didn't plan for my guns.
Fucking Incredible Hulk over here, huh?
Lillian had the idea that we should come up with
aliases.
You know, for whoever might ask, never mind the fact that we checked into this hotel under my true government name.
It's also tricky because, like, I don't know why we would throw in an extra layer of weirdness if we're already mic'd up and hunting ghosts. I look like a slut neighbor who would, like, screw up your whole family. Your dad kills himself.
Maybe I can just be like, my name's E or something.
No, please. I don't think it's going to work. I mean,
I was thinking my name, Calendula. What's your alter ego name?
I don't think I have one. I'm nameless.
Your name is,
what if I was like,
Sharon.
yeah, like
Sherry.
Sherry's
no?
Twisted.
Cheryl.
Ew, how
You're
dare
a
you?
Name.
How dare you?
All right, well, we'll think about it, but we're going to walk down in a second.
We have to get our game on.
AKA get a little drunk. I did buy a full bottle of rum, Jamaican rum. I don't know what my problem is.
I think right now we're in the LA lifestyle zone and we have to get back into the ghost zone.
Right. That's
right. We're like
right.
Two chill hot babes just in LA and now we have to transition.
Two chill hot jacked babes just in LA. You're right. We're getting back into the ghost zone. Next time you hear our voices, that's where we'll be.
In the ghost zone.
Dun, dun, dun. And edit that out.
Eventually, we manage to leave the room and make our way down to the first floor to sit at the gallery bar. Two gals out for a night in the Millennium Biltmore bar.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for a conference about
computers? A computer conference. Oh, we're in computers.
Yeah, just kind of, wait, would you have your key?
I think so.
Are you sure?
Do you?
No.
All right, let me check.
That's how the Black Dahlia probably died.
That's, no. No, I got it. I have the key.
She died from exposure, right?
Yeah.
To a fucking asshole. Okay.
So.
Wait, we look, sorry, but we do look cute.
Listen, I'm sorry.
I apologize.
To these other hoes out here.
Once downstairs, we sit at the bar and begin observing the patrons around us, waiting for a sign from the other side.
Just went from drinking straight rum in my room to drinking a vodka martini, baby.
I like your style, sweetheart.
That's showbiz for
and
you.
It's Hollywood.
We briefly speculate about a potential celebrity sighting because I think that I might see Kurt Russell or his son.
He does. Listener.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
The hottest man I've ever seen.
He's not. Come on.
He's so hot.
Lillian.
He's got a cockiness that women really respond to.
Oh, well, yeah. Listen, I respond to cockiness. Anyone who knows me knows.
Unfortunately, it wasn't Kurt. But in keeping with the old Hollywood tradition of extravagance and indulgence, we order steak frites and martinis.
The scene in this bar right now, how would you describe it?
Pretty much exclusively men.
Yes. Well, there's that one lady. She's receiving her check right now.
Okay, so she's the competition's about to be
down to zero.
Yeah. Everyone's looking for something, you know? That's what I would say.
So
whether
true.
It's just sort of their hotel room or
a friend, a lover.
Their next vodka on the rocks.
Yeah.
All of those things we can be.
We can't be a vodka on the rocks. It's so stupid.
While sitting at the bar, we discuss possible future episodes of the podcast and some other dumb bullshit.
We should go to the damn ocean and do a ghost to show you out there.
Oh, yeah, a lot of ghosts in the ocean.
Seaside ghost to show you. That'll be our summer.
Like open water, I'm thinking.
just
open water ghosts to show you.
Out in the middle of the ocean and
like,
wait.
Okay.
Like two women tragically died of dehydration as they were getting drunk and trying to find ghosts in open waters.
Man, oh man. I mean, God.
I wouldn't put it past us.
I really wouldn't. We'd be like, this was a fun bit, and now we are dead. And now we're dying.
Mm.
As a bit, let's just rent a boat and go out and get drunk and not bring any food.
It'd be so funny.
And like, just like, captain the ship ourselves. Just not bring any responsible party that knows what they're doing. I'm a Cancer, so I'm actually like really good in the water.
Like she's really intuitive, so I feel like she'd be able to find our way
Cancer's
back.
Cancer's on Pisces moon. I mean,
it
seemed like a home run.
Judge,
we're in court now.
That we're in court. We survived.
We're in heaven court.
We're being tried at the pearly gates.
Yeah. They're like, you guys were dumb. We're like, no, if you think about it, we
had every reason to
artists.
Believe. sorry, what's his name?
Following
Paul?
Our passion.
Yeah.
Paul?
Peter. Who's at the Peter gate? Who's at the gates?
Peter. I don't know. I'm Jewish.
I don't want your atheist to a Jew. What do we know? I'm not saying like, oh, I'm like, I was raised without religion, so it's like excusable.
I was raised without religion too, but just with the
culture
of Judaism.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I have no culture.
Yeah, no shit, you're from Florida.
I know you're, see, this is the thing, I lobbed that ball
yeah,
up
yeah.
for you, and you dunked it, and that was me giving you
okay.
a gift.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And here is where we meet the new love of our lives and our unofficial and unsuspecting host for the evening, Greg. Greg is a local legend and longtime bartender at the Gallery Bar. In a word, he is worldly, personable, and charming.
Yeah.
I like your colors. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, those colors match my playing cards.
Your playing cards?
Would love to see.
You want to see the book?
Yes, please.
As it turns out, Greg charms not only with his charms, but with magic. And as we sit at the bar, he proceeds to do a series of card tricks.
Yeah.
Now, what we're going to do is, I want to pick up two cards from the middle of the deck, right?
Okay.
I mean, you told me when to stop. I had no control, right?
That's true. Wow!
That's great.
A really good trick.
The same numbers, the same colors.
Oh,
No way!
No way, right?
Oh my god!
Did I make you really?
Yes.
Favorite
yes.
bartender ever.
Oh, yes, okay, for yeah. sure.
We spend the next hour or so sitting at the bar, watching Greg perform magic and learning about his life. He tells us he's been getting free magic lessons in return for lunch, that he travels to Japan regularly, and that an appreciative couple he'd met and created a drink for years prior named a bar after him. Also, he speaks like 5 languages.
I don't even need my food now.
You're full on magic.
Filled to the brim. With you know, love and gratitude. Just keep drinking martinis and watching magic tricks.
I mean,
that's all I need.
Yeah, forget this life. Forget this podcast.
You know what? Forget this earthly fucking coil, right?
Emily's seen enough for her whole life. She's gonna end it tonight.
I mean, I'm in love. In love with Greg, who does magic and had bypass surgery, eats nice salads with lentils in it.
I mean, oh, I'm so happy for him.
He's still my beating heart.
Joie de vivre on this man. The je ne sais quoi, Greg, will never lead a life half as enriched and gratifying as Greg's.
No. I started crying.
I know you did.
That's why you can't have women ghost hunters.
Too emotional. I need one bartender who does magic tricks for them.
And they go to pieces. They can't get their head in the game. Oh my god, distracted.
I'm crying again. I just, okay. I know.
It's very tough. I understand.
All right. Pull it together, Calendula.
You're not crying, are you?
No. No. Yeah, I've never cried in my life. We'll do a little investigating after this, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, fair enough.
Before 11. What time is it?
9:30.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
Oodles of time.
We finish up at the bar, promising Greg that we will return before his shift ends at midnight. We then walk around the hotel for an hour or so, in which I am apparently becoming seduced by the hotel itself.
You know what I feel is happening?
What?
I feel that the spirits are making me more attractive and like making like me seem more attractive because it's like this weird like kind of like a trap, the hotel setting for me. So I'm like, oh, I'm a beautiful young starlet. And then the hotel's like, and you're doomed. Do you know what I mean?
That's weird, because you seem disgusting to me. Like,
gross. I'm not getting more attractive
no,
before your very eyes.
Less
I feel
attractive.
Like every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Who are
oh,
we?
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry, who are we?
Who is this?
Who is she? So, okay, well, maybe that's just me.
Or so the hotel is playing a trick on you. That's interesting.
Kind of trying to say, why don't you stay here forever and ever and ever? You know?
Yeah, you should.
I mean, why not?
Every night you go down to the bar and Greg performs magic tricks for you.
Never gets old.
It will never get old, and you'll just love your life.
And neither will I.
Why are we going to? Oh, where are we going to the
yeah,
lobby?
Where
okay.
else are we gonna go?
I don't fucking know.
Well, we have to catch Greg before he's done.
No, you're right. You're right.
With his last magic trick of the eve.
I know. Greg has been slutting it up magic tricks wise.
Yeah, it's sort of like, okay, Greg, maybe just don't do a magic trick for literally everybody at the bar.
Maybe not in front of everyone. It's embarrassing to me.
It's embarrassing to me personally.
I mean, you know, you're embarrassing me when you make me feel like the only woman in the room.
It's cheap.
And then all of a sudden, a group comes in, and you're like, oh, excuse me, I'm going to do the same fucking trick.
Back in the lobby, Lillian starts back up with her whole being seduced by the hotel shtick.
It's almost overwhelming in here, I honestly I have to say.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm about to accidentally replay someone else's tragic 1940s life
right.
just by standing here. It's really just, it's where you think, oh, the love of my life is gonna, over champagne, he's gonna go see my show at the side thing. I'm gonna be the lead singer. He's gonna fall in love with me in the audience. And then kind of just propose to me.
Mm-hmm.
It might be kind of a singular thing that I always thought would happen to me, but I tell you, if I were a spirit, I'd want to stay here. I mean, think about how much heartbreak happened in this place. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
This whole town, tragedy.
Yeah.
Dreams broken.
With Lillian having been fully hypnotized by the hotel, we check the time and head back to the gallery bar to visit Greg one last time before his shift ends.
Oh, yeah.
After some small talk, we cut right to the chase.
Greg, we were curious, have you seen any, I don't know if you believe in ghosts. Have you seen any ghosts here in this hotel?
You know, not lately. A while ago, a long time ago, there was this, I don't know if it's a ghost or illusion or the spirit lab.
Greg tells us that one time, a white-haired man walked through the bar and went into the liquor room. But then when Greg went in after him, he wasn't there. Then another time, the same man walked in and sat down at a table with a couple. But when Greg sent a co-worker to take the man's order, again, he was gone.
He's not there.
Mm.
And then we asked the couple, where did this guy go? I said, there was never anybody here.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Of course, we're about Black Dahlia. The story of Black Dahlia?
Yeah.
The last season.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what it is. Are you intrigued with the ghost?
Yeah.
After hearing Greg's ghost story, we continue to sit at the bar, becoming increasingly intoxicated, and debating whether or not the photos that Lillian has posted of herself on Instagram are, in fact, thirst traps.
No, I was just saying I put up some questionable thirst traps.
Yeah?
No.
I don't know. No, it's not questionable. You did post thirst traps.
Of my outfit?
You posted with your butt sticking out. Yes, it is. You're the one that called it that, and you were correct. You know what it is. Don't be coy. Lillian? We're all adults here.
It's not a thirst trap.
You're the one that called it a thirst trap.
You need
you're like, I posted a thirst trap, and then you're like, you're the one.
It's a private conversation.
I think you look very attractive, Lillian. You're a very attractive young woman.
No, stop saying that. Like that. I don't think it's a thirst trap if you're just like, here's a picture of my bod.
That is literally what a thirst trap is. You took a picture where you're not showing your face and it's just you showing your like ass and bod. That's literally a thirst trap. And there's no shame. To me, there's no shame in the game. I'm gonna be drunk.
Yeah, no shit.
We bid Greg farewell as his shift is ending and head back upstairs to continue our investigation.
Recording total change in tone in ghost approach. I got my glasses on, my jean jacket, and a fresh beer. Let's do this. All right, we've called on our spirits.
We have called on our spirit guides
to protect us.
Protect us, yes.
And we thank you for your service. I'm holding up a
raising a beer. Just like they like.
They love me. Hey, what's up, boys?
Spirit guides can't get enough of this bitch.
After calling upon and then toasting our spirit guides, we stumble out of the room to explore the upper floors.
Just FYI, when we do use this, you have to charge the flash.
Look, I was alive in 1998. Okay. I got it.
We bring a disposable camera with us to hopefully capture a ghost on film, and after assuring me that she knows how to use it, Lillian goes on to tell me about some nerdy thing she did in school called safety patrol, which honestly explains a lot.
What is safety patrol?
You get a sash, you say, hey, I'm in charge of the library, I want to make sure everyone's checking in and checking out books on the level.
Excuse me?
You have a bright orange sash.
Safety patrol?
Look.
What makes it safety if you're working
sometimes
in a library?
We're like working the hallways, working the beats.
Okay, so every time we walk by this staircase, I look down and I think about how if I fell over, I would absolutely die.
Emily,
one,
unnerving,
two, three, four, five, six floors down. I mean, well, we're on the seventh floor, and you can see all the way down.
Would probably bounce off the various balconies and break your fall, and you wouldn't fall that fast.
Maybe not. What if I fell straight down? I would die.
No, you wouldn't die.
Yes, I would. Are we going up? Oh, yeah, let's walk up. I guess let's walk upstairs. So we're going to go to the 10th and 11th floors because supposedly those are haunted. People have seen stuff there. They've seen supposedly Elizabeth Short, a.k.a. the Black Dahlia.
Everyone's very horny for the Black Dahlia, which I think is very fucked up. The whole true crime community is very weird and very grotesque and demented, especially regarding Elizabeth Short. I mean, it was a very gruesome murder.
Mm-hmm.
It was very shocking. It's unsolved. I get it. But yep. It's also fucking disgusting the way people are, like, fetishizing it all these years later.
What floor is this?
10th.
I am a little out of breath.
Here's what I will say. Also, sort of insane that the window is just straight up open and you can do a total swan dive onto the highway below.
You cannot open this window more than 5 inches.
All right. Well, anyways, it looks weird.
Yeah. But they have made it so you can't open it too much.
Emily just downplayed my dramatic reading of the situation.
Did a little further digging. What's this?
While investigating the 10th floor hallway and looking for windows we could presumably kill ourselves from, for some reason, we come across a creepy fire escape that leads to the roof.
So there's a fire escape, and it's just a straight up little balcony where I could absolutely throw myself off of this and die on the street. So what's the point of having it be that you can't open the window all the way if you can literally just walk out to the fire escape and jump off this balcony? And there's a very... Look at this creepy fire. I mean...
It's so creepy.
Oh, my God. We can go up to the roof here.
No, we couldn't.
What do you mean we couldn't? We should.
All right.
Come on. We're doing it.
At my urging, we decide to go up and investigate the roof.
I mean, we're breaking rules in the name of a ghost podcast. I know, it's scary. This is very scary.
This is definitely the scariest thing I've ever done.
We're straight up on the roof, and I'm scared. All right, should we go? I know, I'm sick. I'm scared.
We spend all of 5 seconds on the roof before getting freaked out and retreating back to the safety of the hallway.
Jesus. So, if you're keeping score at home, we went up to the roof, and it was scary. I'm out of breath from being scared.
Emily was like, am I being bad?
We might be about to be getting in trouble.
No.
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Hello. Let's go down.
After our near run-in with a security guard on the 11th floor, we attempt to take the elevator down to the 2nd floor.
So there's definitely a security guard that was, because I saw a bunch of red lights trip when we were walking up the fire escape stairs. Definitely a security guard marching directly towards the stairs that go up to the roof. I'm sure some sensor stuff.
Floor.
I just went back to our floor. But you think he was going there?
I think so. Why
don't you think that, why don't you think that he would have assumed that we were coming from there?
I don't know, because we're two girls.
We're literally holding recording equipment. You don't think he would have been like, hey, were you just up there?
Yeah, we look very suspicious.
I think we look suspicious. Let's go to the 2nd floor.
All right. Why is 2 blacked out?
Good question. Literally, 2 is blacked out.
So floor 2 was supposedly haunted because during...
World War II.
It was used as a... Kind of like a... It wasn't like a hospital, but it was used as like a place where soldiers would come and like... While they were visiting, there were cots set up, there were nurses, but I didn't see an explicit like it was a hospital sort of thing.
Something with soldiers being there.
Yeah, but I don't think it was like necessarily like people were dying, people were sick. It was just sort of like some sort of visiting ground slash respite.
Uh-huh.
But apparently people have seen nurses, people have seen soldiers, apparitions on the 2nd floor, which is not opening right now.
That's weird. Should we hit 6? Oh.
6th floor.
Okay, so it won't let us take the elevator to the 2nd floor. So maybe we should walk there.
Why won't it let us go down to the second floor?
People are paying good money for us to do shit like this. And by good money, I mean literally nobody is paying us money. So we'll just walk down this creepy staircase. Third floor.
Modern day surveillance state. You can't do any good ghost hunting.
Ooh, second floor looks dark. Oh, interesting. You can't go to the second floor. Because, I mean, there's a door, but then it just points you towards the lobby. You want to try those doors and see if
they After trying to take the elevator to the second floor and being denied, we are again denied when we try to open the doors to the second floor. Something or someone was trying to keep us out.
All the doors on the second floor are locked, so... Sorry.
At this point, we decide it would be a good idea to go back to our room and lay low for a while, in case the security guard from before is still looking to bring us to justice.
Also, something else that's scary that happened during this trip is that my knee is now doing a weird thing every time I walk down some stairs because I'm getting old. Oh. My knee is doing a weird crunch thing. So, anyways, something to think about.
Yeah. I feel less tired than I did before.
Yeah, well, fresh air from a fire escape and a security guard hot on the trail.
That'll do it.
Back at the room, we discuss the hotel and the Black Dahlia.
Yeah, how do you feel in this hotel?
I did feel completely fine. I don't not feel fine. I just, I don't think we've been in a place of this, like, scale before. It feels different. Whether or not you care about Hollywood or whatever, that's the history of this place. It's so interesting. I mean, I think part of it is no matter what you think about the significance of Elizabeth Short, Black Dahlia, I think what is so interesting about her is that for a lot of people, she kind of encapsulates that tragedy of, like, longing and Hollywood and making it and failing. And that's what's so captivating about it. It's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Mm. I don't know. That's very compelling.
Why do we call her Black Dahlia?
There was a popular, I think, book or movie at the time called The Blue Dahlia. And everyone called her the Black Dahlia because she had jet black hair and she wore black. And it was kind of like a thing. And then I think when she was murdered, tabloid reporters heard people calling her that, picked it up. That's one thing I heard. But
got it.
It's sort of one of those things where... At the time, people were picking on any sort of, like, lurid little detail and making it kind of like a splashy tabloid thing. It was a very distinctively brutal murder in a way that the 40s...
They hadn't seen that yet.
Wasn't really done, if you will. So, very shocking. In plain sight, found by a mother and her child, all of that stuff. Probably had been tortured for days before she died. You know, all it's just awful. Awful stuff. I mean, can you imagine killing someone in the 40s? Like, 40s and earlier, scot-free.
They're not finding your fingerprints. They're not, like, testing for your DNA.
I mean, yeah, DNA testing was many, many, many years in the future.
They're like, oh, I recognize a gentleman with the same color of waistcoat as this fabric that was left at the scene of the crime.
Everyone is trampling all over the fucking crime scene. There's no chance for any sort of, preservation of anything. Yeah, completely ridiculous. But it is very haunting that she was here on her last day.
But people say they have seen her here.
Yes.
And here is where we start drunkenly shit-talking a couple of popular YouTube teens, because we are very cool.
Wait, should we talk about the YouTube guys?
Oh, yes. So...
We were doing research for this episode, and I typed in... You know, Millennium Biltmore LA, Ghost Hunter, something like that. And then I was like, I wonder if people have come in here and kind of done their own investigations. What do those look like? And then popped up some famous YouTube teens called, they're like Sam and Corey, something like that.
Or Colby.
Colby.
What's up, guys? It's Sam and Colby.
We are back!
Whatever.
Yeah. They're these very sweet, dumb teenagers.
They're like 45 years old.
Yeah. They're 45 years old. They have children who don't speak to them anymore. No, they're these like young guys, and they have a YouTube channel where they do haunted investigations or whatever. And they came here, and it's like, first of all, they look like they came straight from a My Chemical Romance concert. Here's the thing. They have like 9 million YouTube subscribers.
Yeah, not an exaggeration.
9 million YouTube subscribers. We have, you know, like 1,000 listens. So I will be the first to acknowledge that we are old, dried up, 30-something-year-old women trying to start a beef with these like 20-year-old dudes. They have a lot of subscribers. I think they have a deal. They've got reps. Whatever.
How can we get teen girls to want to sleep with us? That's the real question. That's the real question.
I mean,
I feel like we're both prime candidates for affection.
I think so.
For their affection.
I think I'm a prime candidate for affection. I spend my whole life trying to get affection. I'm a stand-up comic, for God's
sakes. Exactly. That's the only thing we're doing this for.
But listen, I'm going to be the first to say that we have a rap beef with these kids. Okay? We have a ghost investigator beef with Sam and Colby. Sure, they have subscribers, but that's because they're teen boys. Everybody's horny. Like, you know? Yeah. Wait till we get our fucking MILF following.
Wait till we get our first fucking procedures done on our face. You guys are going to be fucking creaming your jeans.
If they want, like, I don't know. Like, I can mentor them, I guess.
No, we're not involved in their lives. We don't owe them anything. I'm going to crank these expensive beers.
We can afford beers, and also we're old enough to buy them. I'm purposely saying inflammatory shit in the hopes that it makes it to the episode, and then somebody hears this and gets angry because they're a fan, and then all these other fans get angry and they come after us, and then that leads to fucking promotion, baby, okay? It's PR 101.
I want the wrath of teens to rain down upon us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want teens to, like, come onto my various pages and call me old and ugly, and like, I don't want that because I'm a very sensitive person and it will hurt my feelings, but I'm willing to endure it for the fucking game.
Yeah, bring it on, babes. What I say,
bring it on, you little children. Apparently they also went off YouTube because they had a near-death experience.
Yeah, one day we will have that too.
Listen, every fucking day of my life is a near-death experience, okay? Okay, everything, every single day is a day closer to the grave.
I'm about to end it every day, and I don't. That's a near-death experience. Suicidal tendencies, babe. Ever heard of them?
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
Are you guys willing? Are these teens willing to get as fucking dark as we are? I don't think so.
No. They're, like, from Orange County or something.
My God, their hair, their feathery-ass hair, all right, Jesus all right, Christ.
All right. Let's steer back to the lecture at hand.
Fine. Sam and Cody, come see us in these fucking streets. Okay, is that their names?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colby, Sam, Colby.
Oh, Colby.
Do we need to do anything else tonight? How do we feel?
We could do some EVPs. And then we'll go to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
After a night primarily spent drinking and watching magic with a tiny bit of ghost hunting sprinkled in and capped off by a drunken rant about YouTubers, Lillian and I decide to call it a night, and we set up our recorder in hopes that we might capture an EVP while we sleep.
Okay, so I guess I'm just going to have this record until it dies. I'm just going to leave it recording. So, what do we want to ask? Just, are there any spirits here with us? Do you have anything you want us to know? I guess that's pretty much it. We're gonna leave this recorder running. I would appreciate if you don't wake me up or anything, but the recorder will be running, so That's it.
Before bed, I tell Lillian that I may or may not wake her up in the night if I get scared, and then I do, 3 times.
Lillian? Yeah.
Are you asleep yet?
No.
Okay.
Don't worry. Just checking.
We didn't end up capturing any EVPs, but if we were a ghost show on the Travel Channel, here are some sounds we might include. Now you can tell by the way that water is running that that is clearly a toilet from the 1940s.
And this is unmistakably the sound of a demon snapping his hell fingers.
The next morning, we go down to the hotel restaurant and rehash the events of the previous night over breakfast.
Well,
all right. We survived the night.
Yep.
We had martinis, Negronis, rum, and beer.
God. I am a little bit hungover. I know that last night we went back to our room after illegally trespassing on the roof. And I think we kind of talked a lot of shit. And it's not like I blacked out, but I also don't remember what the fuck we were talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, but you didn't sleep well.
Yeah, I think I passed out, but then I woke up at like 3:30. I started gently nudging you with my foot. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Not until this moment.
Kind of, I don't know, maybe I was a tiny bit scared, but not for any reason. I did at one point look over at the chair, like I allowed myself to open my eyes to see if anything was doing in the room, and I saw what looked like a man in a tuxedo, but it was actually my trench coat on a chair.
Yeah, draped over a man in a tuxedo.
And beneath that trench coat was a man in a tuxedo. Yeah, nothing really spooky happened at all. We were both so tired last night.
I know.
Maybe we have to stop drinking so much. Maybe. Or we have to start doing cocaine. I don't know.
I mean, I wasn't drunk. I was just tired.
Yeah. Getting too old for this shit.
Yeah, we gotta retire as ghost hunters.
This is what the people want. They don't want a couple of, like, shaggy-haired teenage boys running around going, bro! They want 2 elderly ladies getting drunk and tired.
Making 1 pass through the hotel and then going back to bed.
1 very cursory pass and falling asleep. Being like, nah, no ghosts here.
I think this place is actually haunted. We just didn't see anything.
I would love to, I mean, spend another week here.
I know.
I could. We should have tried to break into the ballroom or something. So maybe signing off for now, but maybe,
yeah.
Maybe we'll come back.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Ghost to Show You is created and written by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Production, editing, and sound design is by me. Our artwork is by Paco Park, and our original theme song is by LP. This episode was mixed by Jonathan Kranick. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and follow us on Instagram @ghosts2showyou. Thanks for listening. See you next time.